ויבוא בני ישראל כל העדה בברצים חודש הראשון וישב העם בקדש וקמות שם מרים ותיקבר שם. What? You see the third source, the last source on the page. So Chazal say that there's some connection between the death of Miriam, and the pasuk that follows, which is Velo Haya Mayim La'ida. It's a kind of a non sequitur. So the way to solve the problem of a non sequitur is to connect them, and so Chazal connected them, and they said the reason for B is A. That because Miriam died, lo hayalahem mayim la'ida, vayikahalu al Moshe v'al Aharon, and they all got together, and they took a stand against Moshe and Aharon. Okay, Rashi says, v'tamot shab Miriam. You see the second Rashi. Lama nismicha parashat mitat Miriam leparashat parah aduma. Right, first Parah Aduma, then Mitat Miriam, Lomar Lecha, Makor Banot Mechaperim, Af Mitat Tzadikim Mechaperet. Rashi never asked that question, Laban Ismecha Parashat A to Parashat B, unless he has an answer. Right, it's not like Rashi's looking for a creative position. But Laban Ismecha is a position that was adopted by Chazal, that sometimes the tziruf of parashiyot, or the connection, the connectivity between parashiyot, is meaningful. Here, it's not so clear what exactly it means, but that mitat tzadikim mechaperet, so that the death of Miriam should have been a good thing, should have turned out to be well. But actually, it doesn't, right? V'tamot shav Miriam, you see the Rashi? Afhi b'nishika meita. She also died a mitat nishika, or the death from the kiss of God. That just means that you didn't suffer. So there are people who die, that's fine, they go to sleep, they die. There are people who suffer. So mitat nishika is the mita without suffering. Afhi b'nishika meita. Afhi meaning like just like Aaron. So if she also died al pi Hashem, why does the pasuk say that she died al pi Hashem as it does with Aaron? That's Rashi's question. She'eino derech kavod shel ma'alah. Eino derech kavod shel ma'alah. I mean, after all, a man, a woman, eino derech kavod shel ma'alah. And there is this idea that the only thing we can do in order to understand anything about God is to be anthropomorphic. We have no choice, right? And so, at the end of the day, you know, the argument became the Rambam's position, which was you don't say anything about God. You know, basically, I mean, you can say negative about what God doesn't do, but you don't say anything about God. And the Kabbalists, led by the Ramban, at least the way I learned it, who said that, well, you have to give it a special meaning. You have to accept the anthropomorphic nature of God. That's the only way we have to talk about it, right? In other words, you don't want to make God into a person, but there's no other language with which you can talk about God. So if you say Hashem Ish Milchama to the Rambam, that doesn't make any sense. And so the Rambam will say, well, you don't mean it. You just mean that the result of whatever God did was, say, destruction. But that doesn't mean that God is a destroyer or that God has a hammer with which to destroy. Whereas a Kabbalist would say, Hashem Ish Milchama. So, well, why use the word Ish? And why think of Milchama, right? Like, what is it that, what's the special feature of God's presence in the world that is reflected in those words. So that it's always an argument about words and the meaning of words. If you use the word metaphor, which is like in Hebrew, the Rambam wrote the Mor Nebuchim in Arabic, but the translation might say mashal or melitza. Those are words that the Rambam liked. The words mashal and melitza, which mean what we would say metaphor, which is saying well, you know, the word means whatever you want it to mean. I mean, that's, you know, in terms of the dictionary meaning, you just add meanings to the word, and we say it's a metaphor. We don't say, I don't know what it means. We say, oh, it's a metaphor, which I guess is better than say that you don't know what it means. So this is, anyway, there's a little thing. Rashi likes to teach us things that we might not have known. And he says, "Af mitat tzadikim mechaperet." V'tamot shav Miriam, Rashi. I'm still in Rashi. Af hi b'neshika meita, b'nei ma lo nemar bar pi Hashem, she'eno derech kavod shel ma'alat. U ba'aron ne'emar, al pi Hashem. Ve'elem ma'asei, right to the end, al pi Hashem. So that's, that introduction was, you know, why it made sense to attribute to God masculinity, and therefore you wouldn't catch him kissing a woman, whereas with Aaron it was all right. Another thing, if you a litvak, like, you know, if you're non, you don't like the Kabbalistic twist of things, so you might say, well, it's educationally important. In other words, the idea that men and women should not get too close to each other, generally speaking, is a good idea, and you see it reflected here in this interpretation. Right? It's like you could call it educational. Like, it's not about God, right? A litvak position. Not about God at all. It's about us. But what teaches us what to do is the way we understand this pasuk about God. Okay, then we're up to pasuk bet. V'lo yamayim la'ida, v'lo yamayim la'ida, v'yikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. They didn't have any water. They didn't have any water. Rashi says, "Mikan shekol 40 shana yalehem habe'er bizchut Miriam." Right. So Rashi says two things. Like, if you wondered, during the 40 years when they were traveling around from one place to another in the desert, and if it's true that in the desert you don't usually have a lot of water, how'd they have water? Question. So the answer is, it's a miracle. It was a miracle. Because there's no other, in other words, like my understanding of the physical reality doesn't give me an out. I don't know how to put water into the camp of Yisrael as they're traveling around the desert. I mean, where are they going to get water from? So it is true that here and there are oases. How do you say that word in plural? Oases. So here and there you have water, but Chazal took a different approach. Chazal said it was a miracle. And they also said that it was Bizchut Miriam. And that we don't, except for the fact that when Miriam died, the Pasuk says there was no water, we don't really know what the Bizchut Miriam is, right? You could say it. It's like not something that has a necessarily, the necessary has a raya, that has a proof. You say it was Bizchut Miriam because you know that it was Bizchut Miriam. And so when Miriam died, that zchut came to an end. Of course, this whole shot is wrong. This whole shot is wrong because they needed water. What do you mean Miriam died there was no water? So they all just died? I mean, that doesn't seem to be the way it should work, right? They should not die. They should continue to live. So, in any event, we have this problem. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, there's no water in the Be'er. There's no water in the Be'er. So the next pasuk, Gimel Vayarev Ha'am Im Moshe V'yomru Le'mor V'lu Gavanu B'gvarcheinu Lifnei Hashem. Oh, things are getting bad. So the people immediately come to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi, V'lu Gavanu Halavai She'gavanu B'gvarcheinu B'mitat Achinu B'dever L'mat She'mitat Tzama Megune Mimena. Alright, I don't know anything about that. I mean, I was dying of, because you don't have anything to drink, ain't no slim. That's what they say in the hospital, no slim. Problem of no slim. That's a bad thing. But it's more, I guess it's more easily solved than other sicknesses. Bigva, shem davar hu, bigva. Rashi had this idea of grammar that's different than our idea. Shem davar means it's a noun. כמו במיטת אחינו, ולא יתאחל לפרשו כשמתו אחינו, when our brothers died, שאם כן, היה לו להינקד בגווה. All right, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into grammar. Nobody likes grammar. Rashi likes grammar.
You like it.
Yeah, I like it also. But nobody likes it when I talk about it. So I'll give it. So what was the situation when people came? People came to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's always this problem about complaining. You know, you never know what people are really complaining about, what the real issue is, and what the issues of different people, what the issues of different people is. You know, you never know. You can't tell. I went this morning to picket in favor of Rabbi Lookstein. You know Rabbi Lookstein?
Yes.
He's a nice man.
You do now.
Yeah. So anyways, I went to picket. I'm a very laid back kind of picketer. I didn't do anything. I just sat there with my head, I mean, stood there with my head down. Didn't tell anybody what to do or what to eat. And I didn't yell at anybody. And I didn't know that the conservative reform movements in Israel adopted this picket, which has absolutely nothing to do with them. Absolutely nothing. So they came with their signs, you know, conservative movements against the Rabbanut, which was, of course, the wrong idea. So somebody sends me Facebook. You know what Facebook is? I don't do Facebook. I don't want to know. Why should I know? So they send me thing Facebook of me standing in this picket in front of one of these signs. I mean, it looks like I'm picketing with this sign, you know.
It's a chorus tool.
You can't do anything anymore. You can't do it. Not only you can't make a mistake. You used to be able to make a mistake and say, oh, you know, let's go on. It's all recorded. What? Every mistake you make, it's like it's 8 million people know about it even before you find out. It's like really remarkable.
And that picture is forever. I mean, 20 years from now, people who are looking you up are going to find that picture.
Yeah, so I'm so happy about that.
That's
such a
thing, those things people will
be able to. No, but they weren't. Their mom is not to say that. It had nothing to do with the conservative movement. It had, you know.
Did it have,
I mean, this picket had nothing to do with the conservative.
Did it have your name?
It was what?
Did it have your name?
Who?
Your name. Was your name,
your name.
On the
Oh, I don't know.
And somebody tagged you? That's the
I don't know. Not yet. I don't know.
If you tag you, forget about it.
I forgot about it anyway. What can I do? Don't fight hopeless causes.
Yeah.
Only fight when you can win. So I thought that this was a good cause to fight.
What was the cause?
The cause was that the Rabbanut, for some, you know, it's like everything is hard to tell. The Rabbanut in Petach Tikva did not accept a giyur that was done by Rabbi Lookstein. Stam, you know. I mean, it has a history. This has a history. Now, Rabbi Lookstein probably has done many, many giyurim over the years. And so that means that all the giyurim that he did are now I mean, it has no significance really, but it is annoying to if he was Maguire you 30 years ago. So you get up one day and you say, well,
and there's all this food you can eat now.
The only solace is that you're in the same pot as Ivanka Trump, you know, like.
Terrible, because I mean, she cannot make
Aliyah
now. That's really
terrible. Well, she can make Aliyah, as long as she doesn't register in Misrata Pnim.
That's
disgusting. Okay, so this is. So what happens?
Well, we're proud that you went, even if you got photographed.
You might have
said that this year.
I'm going to be vilified from all the. I don't mind being vilified for something that I did. Why should I be vilified for something I didn't do? So, in any event, this is Be'er. So the pasuk says, "Vayarif ha'amim Moshe v'yamulei mol gavana mikbar chenu be'er Hashem lo meveitem et kahal Hashem el mikbar azel amutsham anachtu be'irenu." Remember that. That whole story, that they come and they complain bitterly to Moshe Rabbeinu because they didn't have, we're going to die. They said they're all going to die. V'lama ha'litunim v'mitzrayim l'avi otan al makom ha'ra'a zeh, l'oma kam zer al t'nina v'gevnu rimona mayim ayin l'shtot. So, they're right. If it were true that Moshe Rabbeinu brought them to a place without water, they're all going to die there. So it's a kind of a pointless exercise. What was the response ultimately of Moshe Rabbeinu of God to this complaint? You remember the Sela, the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu took a staff and he hit the rock. So it was like Moshe Rabbeinu showed them, well, you know, one miracle could be replaced by another miracle. It's not like a real problem. But if you assume, as I do right now, I'm assuming that it was inconceivable. The whole story is inconceivable. That the Be'er of Miriam was the only source of water, and that Be'er disappeared, and everybody was going to die. Which is also inconceivable, that because they complained, they got another miracle out of the deal. I mean, the whole story remains a little bit unclear, a little bit unclear to me, right? So I just want to remind you. I want to remind you if we're looking at this sheet. So you see Bereshit Perek Kaf Aleph at the top of the sheet. There's a story about Avram Avinu. The story about Avram Avinu was that Vayira Av Ba'aretz, the beginning of Perek Yud Bet in Bereshit, there was a famine. And for some reason, Avram Avinu chose to go to Mitzrayim to avoid the famine. I say for some reason, because after all, Avram Avinu was very close to God. And God directed Avram Avinu to go to Eretz Canaan. And why would it be that the famine would be able to drive him out of the land? He should have had, one might think, that he should have had a confidence that God would make it possible for him to stay in the land. Also, we haven't heard that all of the Canaanites left Canaan to go to Mitzrayim. It would seem to be something that Avram Avinu did. In Mitzrayim, Avram Avinu got into a little bit of a problem with his wife, or because of his wife, or because his wife was as she was, he had to lie. He had to say that she's my sister, and she's not my wife. However, that whole story turned out, it was okay at the end. He was granted a lot of privileges and money and stocks and all of that. So, and then, he left. He started leaving Mitzrayim, and you know, there's this story about about Avimelech and Avram Avinu signing a covenant. Somehow they made peace with each other after this whole story is over. And then, after the peace was made, you have this pasuk, Berek Perkav al Pasuk Kavhei, Vochiach Avraham et Avimelech. Now that they are friends, good friends, Avraham decides to tell Avimelech something that's on his mind. Al odot be'er hamayim eshe gazlu abdei Avimelech. The Avimelech men stole a be'er mayim. I mean, how you do that? I don't know. I guess you take a big rock and you put it on the well. You put it on the well like in the, you know, when with Eliezer and Rivka and then Yaakov and Rachel, right? There was you could establish ba'alut on a well by making it impossible for anybody else to get to the water. Or I guess you could have shmirah, you could have somebody standing around, but you can establish a ba'alut on a well that is built in the middle of nowhere. So the Torah uses the word gazlu. Vayom Avimelech, it means that Avram Avinu, he dug the well, and somebody else came and made it impossible to use the well. Vayom Avimelech lo yadati mi asad hadavar hazeh, he's like righteous. Vegam ata lo yadati li, vegam anochi lo shamati bilti hayom, and you never said anything. Here we are friends, and we made peace, and we got together. Why didn't you tell me about this? Vayikach Avram sonu bakar v'itei l'Avimelech. They have brit the second time they get together, the lovey dovey, by Yitzev Abraham et Shevakiv Sot Hatzon de Badehen, by Yome Avimelech el Abraham, Mahena Shevakiv Sot Aila, why did you put them aside, these seven Shepsalach, Asher Tzavta Levadana, which you put away on their own? By Yome Kiyat Shevak Vasot, Tikak Miyadi, Babuti Eli, Laida, there I'm giving you this, and you'll admit when somebody asks you where you got these pasot, you say, well, these pasot are what Avram Avinu gave me because he dug the well. You accept this obligation. You know, it's publicly admitting that the well belongs to Avram Avinu. Al ken karala makom hu be'er shava, kisham nishbu shneihem. ויכרתו ברית בבאשוב ויקוב אבימלך ויכול חצר צבאו וישוב אל ארץ פלישתים. והייתה אשר בבאר שבע, I mean, this is a well-known story. ויקרא שם בשם השם אל עולם, ויגר אברהם בארץ פלישתים ימים רבים. ארץ פלישתים, you know, is on the coast. Right? It's like Ashdod, Ashkelon, you know, Gaza. That's Eretz Plishtim. Eretz Plishtim is itself an interesting story because Eretz Plishtim was not conquered by David HaMelech. David HaMelech, who conquered the greatest amount of Eretz Yisrael, in fact, even a little more, because David HaMelech conquered Aram Tzova, right? The Golan and Syria, who were also conquered by David HaMelech, and the Gemara that's called Kibush Yachid, it's called, the Rishonim say it's called Kibush Yachid because David HaMelech, he should have conquered those parts of Eretz Yisrael that were promised to Am Yisrael before he went to conquer something that is outside of that promise. But he didn't do that. He went to conquer the Aram Tzova before he had conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. So one part of all of Eretz Yisrael that he did not conquer is the Eretz Plishtim. And that plays itself out against the background of this story. Where Avraham Avinu went around in Eretz Yisrael and sort of like established some sort of dominion on this place, on that place, on the other place, but he could not establish dominion on Eretz Plishtim. Eretz Plishtim, there was an agreement, a covenant between Avraham Avinu and Avimelech. in which Avram Avinu gave up ownership on Eretz Plishtim, and that is represented by the Be'er. The Be'er is certainly becomes a kind of a border, right up to here, Avram Avinu. Is similar to what happened with Yaakov Avinu, right? Yaakov Avinu, when he ran away from Lavan, and then they put up these stones, they put up the Yigar Sahaduso, that these were that's witnessed, created a boundary between the land of Lavan and the place of Yaakov, right? So that happened on the east, right? Up north, east, right? In the direction of Babylonia, whereas here we have the Eretz Plishtim delineating the time of Avram Avinu as belonging to the Plishtim and not belonging to him, Avram Avinu. The what? Is that what it says? Vayogar Avraham Eretz Plishtim Yamim Rabim. Oh, you want to know about Be'er Sheva? Be'er Sheva and Eretz Plishtim, I don't know exactly what the boundary is. I know that Eretz Plishtim became the coast, right? What we call Aza today, right? That was Eretz Plishtim. And here it seems that it went up to Be'er Sheva.
Avimelech was the king there.
Yeah. That's, yes.
Where exactly does it say that the exchange in the contract that Avram is giving up all future claims on the coast? Where does it say that?
No, it doesn't say that.
Oh, I thought you said that.
No, I'm just saying it's like a metaphor. In other words, instead of Avram Avinu going around and the Ovos, Avram modeling for Yitzchak, modeling Yaakov, taking pieces of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, God promised that Eretz Yisrael would belong to the descendants of Avram Avinu. But God also said that Avram Avinu should live in Eretz Canaan. Live in Eretz Canaan probably means that he would be able to get a piece of it. Like there'd be some place that would be his, where he could live, and nobody would fight. And that was true about Yitzchak, as we'll see in a minute. It was true about Yaakov. So if Avram Avinu is making a covenant with one of the people who should be kicked out of Eretz Israel eventually because they were idolaters, then it would seem to be counter-indicated. And it creates a certain kind of limit which is reflected in history. That's what I meant to say. It wasn't just that Avram Avinu made this agreement with Avimelech Melech Plishtim, but that this agreement held. And David HaMelech was unable to conquer the Plishtim, right? Remember that they stole the Aron and they couldn't find out where it was, and finally they got it back. But the Plishtim were unconquerable. They were unconquerable. So now, if you want, you could make a connection, right? You don't want to, you don't have to. That's okay. Okay with me. All right, Rashi. Avram Avinu gives up Eretz Yisrael twice. Right? You remember the story with Lot? Right? So he and Lot agreed. It was Lot may have been part of the Haftacha. When God promised Avram Avinu that the generations would inherit the land of Israel, well, that might have included Lot. I mean, Lot was, after all, a close relative. But at the end of the story, Lot gets his part of Eretz Israel, and Avram Avinu has the rest of it. So that's the first time that Avram Avinu seems to be giving up Eretz Israel, or part of Eretz Israel. And the second time that Avram Avinu gives up part of Eretz Israel is here in this story. But there's one more story that you have to remind yourself of. And that's in Perikav. You see the second source on the page? So this story takes place. You remember that Yitzchak Yitzchak that was Vayira Av Ba'aretz. A Yitzchak who was absolutely devoted to anything that his father would teach him. Right, Ve'elchushnehem Yachdav. It says it several times in the parash of Akedat Yitzchak. Ve'elchushnehem Yachdav means they were of a like mind. How could two people be of a like mind? Well, whatever Avraham Avinu said, that God said, for Yitzchak, it was gospel. Maybe that's a bad word in this case. But Yitzchak accepted it. He was Yachdav. He was 100%. He didn't ask a question. Right? The question that he asked had nothing to do with whether he was accepting of the idea. Right? So that was Yitzchak. So Vayira Ava Aris in the days of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak looked around. He said, what should I do? I should do what my father did. What did my father do? He went to Mitzrayim. So Yitzchak is on his way to Mitzrayim. And God stops him. And God says to Yitzchak, Gur Ba'aretz Hazot. Gur Ba'aretz Hazot. Unlike Abraham. In other words, like God says to Yitzchak, whatever Abraham Avinu was supposed to accomplish by going to Mitzrayim and coming back from Mitzrayim, that he did. You don't have to do that. You inherited that. It was you inherited that accomplishment, so to speak. You don't go to Mitzrayim. You go to some place where there's food, but don't go to Mitzrayim. So he went to Eretz Plishtim. He went to Eretz Plishtim, and interestingly, I mean, something to think about, but we're not going to do that now. A similar story takes place for Yitzchak and his wife, as took place for Avraham and his wife. And Yitzchak, taking the lead from Avraham, who lied about the exact status of his wife, he said, we don't know exactly what that means. You know, Near Eastern scholars have ventured the opinion that an achot, that the use of the word achota, sister, is a kind of a certain different status of wife. Like there are different kinds of wives that people had in those days. The primary wife and then less important wives. Right? So, you know, Shlomo Melch had 1,000 wives without a cell phone. Right? I don't know how he did that.
How can you do it with a cell phone?
What's up? It's a challenge.
WhatsApp.
You do it with WhatsApp. I'm now walking from the kitchen to the dining room. Whoever finds that meaningful, do something. So Yitzchak was really like his father. Yitzchak was like his father. He said, Achoti. She's not my wife, she's my sister. And then what happened, and Yitzchak benefited from it. But Avraham Avinu was in Mitzrayim, and Yitzchak did not leave Eretz Canaan. Of course, the Eretz Canaan that he did not leave was the Eretz Plishtim, which according to the Haftacha, with the promise that God made about Eretz Yisrael, that's included. It just happens factually. The fact is that they were not able to do that. So the pasuk says, Kol ha'beirot asher chavru atei aviv bimei Avraham aviv sitmu plishtim v'himal'um afar. So you see that the story with Avram and Avimelech, where they were korei brit, they made an agreement, that story has not ended, but it goes on. Sitmu plishtim. The only way to undo a be'er is to stop it up. In other words, a be'er, apparently, is something that people know about. You know, a be'er is recognizable. It's a nekudat siyum. I learned that in the army. Nekudat siyum. It's like, you know where you are, right? You look at this pile of stones. Oh, I remember this pile of stones. That's how a be'er is. A be'er is like a pile of stones.
A milestone.
Yeah, but it's for a mile.
A landmark.
I mean a landmark. Yes. then we have this. I mean, we don't know what's really happening. I mean, it's all telescope, the story. But a little bit we know. Vayom Avimelech El Yitzchak. Don't ask me about the name Avimelech. Vayom Avimelech El Yitzchak. Lech mi imanu, ki atzamta mimenu ma'od. you know, shades of Yitziat Mitzrayim or of the slavery in Mitzrayim, like Avimelech realizes that Yitzchak, if he doesn't do anything, Yitzchak is going to take over. He just, because, whatever, because. Atzamta mimenu me'ot. I mean, whatever that is. Vayelech misham Yitzchak, vayichad menachal Gerar, vayeshiv sham. So Nachal Gerar, Gerar is the name of the city that is a Philistine city, right? Nachal Gerar, Rashi says, rachok min ha'ir. Right? The people lived in Gerar. And he went to Nachal Gerar. It's often the case that you have some kind of a river. it's not like in Russia where the river, you build the city on the river. And so all the cities in Russia are on rivers. The river is in the city. Like that was the Shita. Here, since the rivers don't stay filled with water, they built it a little further away. So that's what Yitzchak did. Pasuk Yitchet. V'yashav Yitzchak v'yachpoet v'yirot ha'mayim asher chafru b'imei Avraham aviv. V'yistemu plishtim achrei mot Avraham. He went and he dug up those wells over again, the exact same wells. Because it wasn't the water that he was looking for, apparently. He was looking for a well that indicated something, indicated an agreement, indicated a border that had been established. It didn't matter to him whether there was water in it. But he had to unstop it, because a stopped-up well was not in use. It didn't do anything, didn't say anything, didn't convey a message. Okay, so Rashi just adds, Pasuk Yudchet, Vayashav Vayachbor HaBe'erot, he dug the wells again, Asher Chafru B'mei Avraham, Aviv, U'plishtim Sitmum. The Philistines stopped them up, these wells, Mikodim Shenasa Yitzchak B'Gerar, V'Chazar V'Chafaran. So there were wells in Gerar that belonged, or next to Gerar, that belonged to, that were the wells that Avram Avinu had dug. Now these wells, Yitzchak was leaving, he was on his way out, but he wanted to make sure that these wells that acted as signs of border signs, would be effective again. So he dug them, they dug them up. Okay? Vayikra lehem shemot, kishemot shekara lehem aviv. Also, I guess, meaningful in that world. Not only does the well exists, not only does it produce water, but it has a name. It has a name. I don't know who heard Yitzchak calling it this name, but I guess there were people who did. Pasuk Yutet v'yachburu avdei Yitzchak v'nachol v'imtzu sham v'er mayim chayim. Oh, that's good. And so avdei Yitzchak. Chafru, v'yachperu, avdei Yitzchak b'nachal. Nachal Gerar. V'yimtzu sham be'er mayim chayim. So you know there are two kinds of wells. There are two kinds of, you dig a hole in the ground, and sometimes you put the hole in the ground, you call it a be'er or a well, but what you mean is that it's a cistern, like it's going to collect water. So it rains in the winter, and the water collects. You take whatever, lime. You line the walls of the well with lime, and so it's more or less not porous, and the water is saved there. But from time to time, you're really lucky, and you dig a well, and you know, and you find water. You find really a water source which you didn't know was there. Vayimtzu sham be'er. Mayim chayim, running water. Like it really like keeps running into the well. Vayarivu, that was too much. Too much for the Gerarites. Yitzchak discovered this wondrous thing, a be'er mayim chayim. So vayarivu ro'e Gerar ro'e Yitzchak le'mor, they fought. Just like Lot, we talk about Lot, but it didn't finish. But just like Lot and Avram Avinu, his shepherds fought with his shepherds over the land. Here they fought over the water. By Lemor Lanu Hamayim, it's our water. Where are the holes of in our place? By Krashem Aver Asek, itasku imo Asek. Rashi says ir'er, like to deny somebody else's clay. Ki itasku imo nitasku imo alea bimriva v'ir'ur. They had a fight about it. They had a fight itasku imo pasuk kavaliv v'yachburu be'er acheret v'yarivu gam aleha v'yikra shema Sidna. So they dug another well, right? And they called it Sidna, which is some kind of a word. Right? In parentheses, he says Nezek, damaged. It was like a place of damage. So, so there is this story about a well. Right? A well is, we learned, wells are the thing that mark, that can be used to mark a boundary between one side and the other. When there is an agreement about land, and for the Avot, there were two agreements, or three agreements really made. Avram, and we could include Yitzchak now in that agreement with Avram Avinu, and then Yaakov, his agreement with Lavan. So that's one of the things that are well, one of the things that a well can do. Okay, so let's now turn the page. Just 1 second. Let's go shorter. In this parasha, Az Yasher Yisrael et Ashira Hazot. After the story of Miriam, and after the story of Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, right, and causing great distress for himself, remember that it's not clear what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for. Moshe and Aaron. Moshe went to the rock, and he hit the rock, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this caused a chilul Hashem. So chilul Hashem is hard to find. But why was it a chilul Hashem? All the Mefarshim asked, the Abarbanel at length says, nobody expects water to come out of a rock if you hit it. So if water came out of the rock when you hit it, why is that a chilul Hashem? Everybody understands that had to be done by God. Yeah. Only God could make water come out of a rock. Shabbat? She says, it makes the miracle, it lessens the miracle. Less miracle. That if you talk to a rock, and water comes out, that's a 9-point miracle. If you hit a rock and water comes out, that's only a 5-point miracle. That's what you said? I don't know. It's hard for me to understand that. But I think the Abarbanel is right. It was not only the Abarbanel. The possible answer is that Hashem said to Avram, to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kach et ha-mateh, take the mateh," and by hitting, and the mateh was something that Moshe Rabbeinu used when miraculous events were taking place, so that why wouldn't it be reasonable for Moshe Rabbeinu to interpret kach et hamateh to mean use the mateh as you use the mateh in the makot in Mitzrayim. So use the mateh here in order to get water out of the rock. There's a comment by Rabbi Yosef Albo, who wrote a book which is called the Sefer Ikarim, the Book of Principles, in which he explains what happened. But it's a very nice comment. What Yosef Albo says is this: when the people came to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Aaron that they didn't have any water, and that Moshe Rabbeinu took them out of the tribe, or they should die here in this place. So Moshe and Aaron run away and went to the Ohel Moed to seek God's advice. He said, that was the Chilul Hashem. And he compares it to Yoshua bin Nun, Rabbi Yosef Albo, right? Compared it to Yoshua bin Nun, that when the day was going down, right, and he was waging a battle against the eye, he knew that if night fell and he hadn't won the battle, that he would be in trouble militarily. So without hesitation, according to Rabbi Yosef Albo, without hesitation, Yoshua said, Shemesh begivon dom, v'yareach be'emek ayalon. He didn't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's talk this over. Maybe there's some other solution that's possible. But Yoshua bin Nun said, this is the only solution, and I'm sure that God will make it happen. And that was a Kiddush Hashem. That was a Kiddush Hashem. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu showed everybody at that time that he was not able to stand up to the pressure of the people who wanted water, that was the chait, that was the Chilul Hashem. And to that, I would add just one thing. My opinion is that there was water. So what was the Be'er of Miriam? I mean, there was water. I don't know where there was water. There was water someplace. You know, there was there's a place. I remember when I came in Aliyah, when I first came in Aliyah many years ago, we used to go visit Kibbutz Yavne something. Kibbutz Yavne, they had a special place. You went this way and that way and the other way, and you get to a faucet. And out of the faucet came soda. You know, soda like water with bubbles in it. This was like a great thing. This was a great thing because it was secret. Like, you know, people just came by. They didn't know where it was. You had to be really on the in. There was water. There was water. So what was the Be'er of Miriam? Rashi says in two or three places that the Be'er of Miriam rolled along with Bnei Yisrael. Wherever Bnei Yisrael went, the Be'er also went. The Be'er of Miriam. It doesn't mean that they were, that was the only source of water for Bnei Yisrael. It meant that there was an ongoing miracle. There was an ongoing miracle, the Be'er of Miriam. So why do you need the ongoing miracle of the Be'er of Miriam? Why do you need the ongoing miracle of the Be'er of Miriam? Because the people had to be reminded that there are permanent Be'erim or Be'erot waiting for them in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, that Miriam was the one who saved Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought, who was responsible in some way for Yitziat Mitzrayim, who was interested in bringing them, making sure everybody would go to Eretz Yisrael. So what was it that was the siman for everybody to see that they were going to go to Eretz Yisrael? The Be'er of Miriam, because the Be'er of Miriam was not a well, according to Rashi, was not a well that existed for water. There was water, and there was a Be'er of Miriam. The Be'er of Miriam was a Be'er that rolled along with them. It went with them wherever they went. That's not a Be'er. That's something that highlights the fact that they lived in the desert, a place where are no wells, and they were going to a place where there was a well. So in this Pasuk, I just want to tell you one thing. Pasuk ka, v'bamot agai asher b'snei Moab rosh ha-pizkah, v'nishgafa al p'nei ha-yishimon. I mean, you know, always these things are difficult words. What's the pizkah? A pizkah is a high place. Nishkafa, it looks down upon Pnei HaYishimon. What's the Pnei HaYishimon? Rashi says, Nishkafa, Ota HaPiska, that high place. You see the Rashi, the end of the Rashi? Al Pnei HaMakom She Shmo Yishimon. Right? It looks down upon Yishimon. V'hu Lashon Medaber Shehu Shemam Davar Acher. Right? That another interpretation, v'nishkafa ha-be'er al-pnei ha-yishimon, that the be'er is kind of looking down on the face of Yishimon, she'nigneza b'yama shel Tveria. It was like hidden away in the sea alongside Tveria, v'ha'omed ala Yishimon mabit. And if you stand on the Pisgah, on the Yishimon, you can look v'ro'ekimin kivara bayam v'yabeer. It looks like a kivara is a, you know, bees are in a kivara.
No, it's a napa.
What? Yeah, like a napa. But a napa with big holes in it. It looks like you could see it. You could see it, v'ro'ekimin kivara Bayam, v'yabeer, kach darash Rabbi Tanchuma. So that these words nishkafa apnei Yishimon are difficult, but it says that the well, Miriam's well, is in the sea alongside Tveria, from which the Shulchan Aruch says, you see, the Shulchan Aruch, asur lasot, the last source, asur lasot shum lachak kol mishiyavdil. Right, that's how we paskin. You don't do melacha on Motzei Shabbat until you hear Havdalah. Vim hivdil b'tfilah mutar. And if you daven Maariv, so when you daven Maariv, say atachan otanu, say Havdalah. So then you can't do melacha, right? Mutar. Afal pishadayin lo hivdil ala kos. Even though there's a separate obligation to say Havdalah ala kos on wine. Right, which is also what we do. Originally, the Gemara says in Brachot that some people did this, some people did that. They were poor, they couldn't afford more wine, and so they didn't do it ala kos. But it resolved itself ultimately that everybody does Havdalah both times, both in Maariv, if you daven Maariv. Like men daven Maariv, women don't usually daven Maariv. But if you do, you have to say Havdalah. And also say Havdalah ala kos. V'im tzarich lasot melacha kodem shevdil b'tfilah, omer avdeh ben kodesh ben chol, b'lo bracha, b'osem melacha. So there's a liberal position here, liberal position in the Shulchan Aruch. If you have to do melacha, and you didn't say Havdalah, so okay, just say, I'm avdeh ben kodesh ben chol, everybody knows that trick. Hago, right, this is what the Ramah says, V'chei nashim, Sheinan mavdilin b'tfilah. Yeshe labdam, women who don't daven Maariv, that means, you have to teach them, sheyomru mavdil ben kodesh techol, kodem sheyasu melacha. V'yesh omrim, dekol ze b'melacha gmura, kigon kotev, oreg, avol hadlakat haner ba'alma, o hotza'at me'otza'at me'shun drusha, means like, if you... if you do these kinds of malachot, ein tzarich lazeh. You don't have to say du havdalah. Umizeh nitpashet, listen to this. Mizeh nitpashet, the Ramo. Nitpashet haminhag, lakel, shemadlikim nirot miyad shamru, hakahal baruchu. Right, there's this minhag, you know, the shul, it was dark. And the Dabi Marev. So the Chazan says baruchu, and the do-gooders run around the shul and they light up the candles so that you could see. Okay? Miyad shamru akal baruchu aval aikar kizvar rishon aviyesh omrim. Here, this is where we're interested in. Lidlot mayim bekol motzei shabbat. There are those who say that you should go out and draw water every Motzei Shabbat, right? Every Motzei Shabbat, you should like draw water, to have new water to drink. Ki be'erat shel Miriam, so they've called Motzei Shabbos, kol ha-be'erot, because the well of Miriam on Motzei Shabbat goes from well to well, kol ha-be'erot, umi shepogea bo, v'yishtemimenu, and if you happen to be there at the right time, in the right well, at the right time, and you get the water out of the well, v'yishtemimenu, yitrape mikol tachaluav. Now this is a little tricky, because it doesn't say that if you drink water from a well on Motzei Shabbos, you'll get well. What it says is if you drink water from the well, that the bear of Miriam happens to be in, then you'll get well. But you'll never know. You'll never know, as it is with most of these things. So it's Lora Iti Leminat Zeh, the Ramo says. He couldn't put up with it. Even though the Ramo was a great fan of Minhagim, and he put in all the Minhagim that he could find into the Shulchan Aruch, but this was too much. Lora Iti Minhag Zeh. Right, etc., etc. Like, what is the, to my mind, what is the important thing here? What is the important thing? It is, it says, Yesho rim lidlot bayim bekol motzei Shabbat. Ki be'erasho miryam sovev kol motzei Shabbat kol ha-be'erot. In other words, as Rashi said, I told you Rashi said, that the Be'er of Miriam rolled around from one place to another, and that the Be'er of Miriam represented represented that they were not in Eretz Yisrael, and that the existence, when the Be'er of Miriam disappeared, it continued to exist. It didn't exist in the camp of the Jews. They had water from other sources, including an alternate miraculous source. It was as though people said, you know, we left Mitzrayim and we're supported by God. We don't need the water. It's not the water of the well of Miriam. It's the miracle of the well of Miriam. We are going to Eretz Yisrael because, in part, because we feel we've been led to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us and will bring us there. But that includes all these signs that we have, the man and the Be'er of Miriam, which the Be'er of Miriam is that miraculous that miraculous event that goes on all the time. So it's as though, so when they took that away, the people came and complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, I'll show you another miracle. A miracle which will indicate that God is still with us. It never said later on that Moshe Rabbeinu did that again. That he had to go and hit the rock, you know, every day in order to get enough water to for people to drink. It wasn't the water that was an issue. It was the miracle that was an issue. And that miracle was taken away from Bnei Yisrael and replaced by some other miracle. But what happened to the miracle of the well of Miriam? Well, it had another purpose as well. The well of Miriam was supposed to explain convince, explain to Bnei Yisrael that they were not in the right place, that the desert was not the place where you could dig a well and have Mayim Chayim and have a place which was worth fighting about, as Avraham did and Yitzchak did and finally Yaakov did. It wasn't that kind of a well. And to remind us, somehow the Medrash accepted this idea that the well of Miriam did not disappear from the created world. You know that in Pirkei Avot says in the Pirkei Avot that 10 things were created Erev Shabbat Bein HaShemashot, and one of them is Pi HaBe'er. One of them is the Be'er, the well of Miriam. And if it was created Erev Shabbat Bein HaShemashot, that means it's part of the created world. It wasn't what we usually call a miracle that comes and goes, but it's something that's there all the time. And so there's a minhag, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though the Ramah rejects the minhag, but the minhag is based on the idea that the well of Miriam must be somewhere. It can't be nowhere. But it's not in a well. It's not, the Be'er of Miriam is not in a well. Wells are things that you can identify and you can feel and come close to, and you recognize your connection to the land through the well. I mean, that's what a well is. And so you could talk about the fact that Avraham Avinu built two kinds of things, right? He built wells, which had more to do with boundaries, and he also built mizbechot. He didn't build mizbechot for giving sacrifices. If you look at the parasha of Lech Lecha Vayera, you see that Avraham Avinu never actually gave a sacrifice. Even though there were sacrifices given by Adam HaRishon, according to Chazal, and about from Cain and Hevel, of course, that's written in the Chumash, and Noah, but not Avraham. He didn't give a sacrifice. It's like itself an interesting mystery. But he did build altars. And altars are things that are hard to take apart. They're there. They get you back to the place. They're a siman. They're a siman. So that the altar signifies the place where you had some contact with the Avraham Avinu, had some contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Be'er represents the delineation of Eretz Yisrael. Ad Kan, it belongs to me. Mikan Vahala, it belongs to somebody else. And the Be'er of Miriam indicated to Bnei Yisrael that as long as they were in the desert, they were in the wrong place. And so the Bnei Yisrael, the people of Israel, wanted very much, they couldn't understand that the Pi HaBe'er was created Erev Shabbat. So what happened to it? Well, where is it? So it must be in a place, but it's not in a well. It's in a sea. It's in a place which is completely different. There's only water. And even though the Ramah rejects the minhag, he quotes it. Interesting, like there are different levels of rejection, right? You know, you could reject something and never mention it. Or you could say, I know there are people who say this and this, but I say that, right? Then you're already giving FaceTime. That's a Facebook word? No. It's a some kind of, it's a phone word. It's a phone word. You're giving FaceTime to the other opinion, right? You don't want to do that. You can learn that from Donald Trump. He never does that. Never makes that mistake. Okay, so that's the story of the well of Miriam, or part of the story.
It's interesting. On the flight back from destroying the Iraqi reactor, one of the pilots quoted was
because he was up in the air. I don't know what.
Because even though they pretend not to be religious, there are no non-religious Jews.
Well, as long as there's any connection between the fact that, that Miriam suggested to put Moshe in the Nilus in water,
I'm sure there is. It's your drasha.
Ah.